welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. In this hour, we have horror, later on from the Dark Fantasy series from 1942. But first, a broadcast of the mysterious traveler called They Who Sleep, from January 6th, 1945, on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The Mysterious Traveler.
This is the Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can. Where are we going? Why are we going to visit a man who could change the soul of a human being from one body into another, in a story I call They Who Sleep. My story begins late one foggy night in a dingy little room in the slum section of a great city. The occupant of the room, a small man, white-haired, his cheeks hollow from hunger, has just admitted a visitor whom he does not know and whom he is trying to send away. An expensively dressed young woman with a heavy veil hiding her face.
But, my child, it cannot be me to whom you wish to speak. You have made some mistake.
I haven't made any mistake. I've been hunting for you for days. I spent a good deal of money tracing you here.
But I do not understand. Why should you wish to find me, Alexander Thomas, a penniless old man
who... You did not always use the name Alexander Thomas. Once you called yourself Chadwin the Great, hypnotist beyond compare.
Chadwin the Great?
Yes.
I once used that name. But Chadwin the Great no longer exists. I am only Alexander Thomas now.
Listen to me, Chadwin. We've met before. 10 years ago, you gave a performance at the Bijou Theater.
There are so many Bijou Theaters.
You asked for volunteers to be hypnotized. I came up on the stage. I and my sister Rose. You hypnotized her easily, but you could not hypnotize me.
There were so many, I cannot remember.
No, but you can remember this newspaper clipping.
That old story from the newspapers? Where did you get it?
It says that you, Chadwin the Great, once performed the experiment of exchanging two men's souls. By the use of secret drugs and your great powers of hypnotism, you transferred one man's soul into another man's body.
You cannot believe all the newspapers say.
But you did this before witnesses. And one of the two men died. You went to prison for 5 years for manslaughter.
Why do you come here to remind an old man of his tragedies? Go, please, leave me alone.
No, Chadwin. For years I've kept this clipping, for years. Never knowing what impulse made me tear it out and save it. Until last week I found it again. And then I knew.
You speak not like a woman, but like a soul possessed by devils.
Perhaps I am. So you can transfer souls from one body to another?
No, I cannot.
How much would you charge to do it again?
Do not ask that of me. I am old. I have been in prison.
How much, Chadwin? Could you put my soul into another's body for $10,000?
$10,000?
Yes. Then you could live like a man again, not like a starving animal in this hovel.
Once before I tampered with the eternal laws, I paid the penalty. And so did one of those I experimented upon.
But which one, Chadwin?
The weaker one. He died. The other, the strong soul in its new body, lived.
Ah, then I am ready. When can you do it? Tomorrow night?
But, my child, why should you risk your life for that which cannot be, which was not meant to be?
Look, Chadwin, I shall raise my veil. Now, would you call me beautiful? Even pretty? No, I'm ugly.
You are not ugly. Your face is strong. But if it were not twisted by bitterness...
Enough of talking. How can you know what it means to a woman to be ugly? To lose the man you love to a woman you hate? Because you are plain, and she so beautiful. Chadwin, will you do as I ask?
To help you change with one who is beautiful. To help you to be loved for just a little... my child. Perhaps it is not such a great wickedness to do that.
Then you'll do it?
But it is only for a little while. You must understand that. For 10 days, no more. Then the laws, which cannot be violated with impunity, require that your soul must return to your body.
It's enough. It's all I want, Chetwin.
Very well. I have here a small bottle. Here. Take it. Guard it carefully. When the moment comes, she, the other, must drink it in water.
Yes. It will be easy.
She will drift off to sleep. Then you must come to me. But not here. It would not be safe.
Never mind. I know the place. The safest in the world.
Very well. The exchange will be made, and I will see that she, in your body, slumbers dreamlessly. After 10 days, she will wake and be herself again, with no memory whatever of what has happened. And now, Miss...
Vaughn. Helen Vaughn.
Now, Miss Vaughn, who is this beautiful one with whom you would change places?
The girl who just married the man I love. My sister, Rose Vaughn. Good morning, Bessie.
Good morning, Miss Helen.
Where's Miss Rose? She's gone downstairs yet?
Mrs. Tabor, you must learn to say now, Miss Helen.
Mrs. Tabor, then?
She's in her room, Miss Helen.
Is Mr. Tabor with her?
Yes, he is.
All right, Bessie, thank you.
Helen, is that you? We thought we heard your voice. Come on in. Leonard's just leaving for the office.
Good morning, Helen. How's the best sister-in-law I ever had?
Hello, Rose. Leonard?
Darling, what's the matter?
I know. Did you hear what time this young lady got in last night? It must have been quite a party.
Oh, Leonard, I hope you aren't keeping tabs on Helen.
No, but I did hear the clock strike 3 just as her door closed. Well, me for the office. First, a goodbye kiss. Oh, gosh. I sure picked myself a beautiful wife.
Oh, run along, you silly.
Bye, Helen. Got a sisterly kiss for me?
Leonard... Don't put your arms around me, please.
Well, there's sisterly affection for you. You'd think she hated me.
Oh, run along, Leonard. They probably need you downtown to polish off a big deal.
Yeah, they probably do at that. Okay, I'm on my way. Bye, you two.
Bye, darling. Well, Helen, you are in a mood this morning.
I just think you two carry this lovey-dovey business to a ridiculous extreme.
Helen, it's as if... Well, as if you... dislike seeing Leonard kiss me.
You don't have to be constantly kissing him in front of other people, do you?
Helen. Oh, my dear, I didn't realize.
Didn't realize what?
Didn't realize it. Oh, Helen, darling, believe me. Someday the man will come along who'll mean just as much to you as Leonard does to me. You'll find him. I'll help you find him. Listen, I'll give some parties and invite a lot of you.
Stop it, Rose. Let go of me. Don't go gushing over me, you idiot.
Helen, how can you be so cruel?
Oh, stop sniveling like that.
I'm sorry, Helen, but you're always so sharp when anybody tries to be nice to you.
And you, you're always so nice to everybody, so soft, so sweet. Oh, I'm sorry, Rose. I always forget how the least quarrel upsets you. Well, here, drink this, Rose. There's a sedative in it. Something quite harmless. It'll soothe your nerves.
Oh, all right. Oh, nasty stuff.
Now lie down in your bed. That's it. Just a few moments now, and you'll be drifting off to slumberland, my beautiful sister.
Oh, it is quick, isn't it? Feel drowsy already.
You do? And you must give in to the feeling, you hear? Don't fight it.
I feel so queer. It's as though I were on a boat. A little boat.
Rose? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Helen, I hear you. You seem such a long ways away. such a long way.
Rose, you're to come to me when I call you. Do you hear?
Yeah.
You're to sleep for a while. Then when I call, no matter where I am, you're to come to me.
Yes, I'll come to you. I'll come
to you. She's asleep. Jedwin's drug is working. The rain has come. Well, let it rain. Yes, let the skies open and drench the earth. Let the rain fall like a curtain, like a cloak to hide the rebirth of Helen Vaughn.
Leaving her sister Rose in a slumber so deep, it was almost death-like, Helen Vaughn hurried to her room. There she wrote a note addressed to Rose and Leonard, explaining that she had decided suddenly to go off by herself on a trip to Mexico, and that they would probably not hear from her for some time. Then she put on her hat and coat and slipped out. All day she waited in a hotel. Then when night came, she picked up Chadwin the Great in a rented car and drove him through the storm to a spot well outside the city, where she turned into an ancient cemetery. There she brought the car to a stop before a low building of white marble over which ivy and moss had grown for many years. With a heavy key, she opened the massive padlock and they entered, shutting the door behind them.
The air in this old mausoleum is dank odor of a charnel house.
But where else could the living lie asleep, peaceful and undisturbed, as safely as here among the sleeping dead?
No, I will not go through with
you
it.
You already have your money. You cannot back out now.
Then in heaven's name, let us be finished quickly.
Quickly, yes. The storm should hide the car from the cemetery guards. But we must take no chances. Now, here's a flashlight I brought. I'll turn it on. Look there, Chadwin, at the tiers of compartments this tiny stone building holds. Each compartment with its iron door, each holding within it a coffin in which lies the dust of a Vaughn.
I see them, yes. 12 of them.
This one, here on the bottom, is empty. Meant someday to hold the body of Helen Vaughn. Tonight it shall receive her.
No, no, this is madness.
I'll open it. There. See that narrow, dark compartment? So small, so quiet, so restful, so safe from disturbance. In it for the next 10 days shall rest my body, holding the soul of my sister Rose.
No, no, there must be some other way.
None that is safe. While my body sleeps and I am absent from it, it must be where no one can find it. And here, no one ever will.
I do not like it.
Hold the light. I'll slide into it. It's quite roomy enough. The stone is chilly, but what matters that to one who is asleep? Going.
Going.
Rose Vaughn, hear me. Enter the body that awaits you here. Enter quickly and wake.
Quickly, Chadwin closed and latched the iron door of the compartment, slipped from the mausoleum, snapped the padlock on the huge door again, and was gone. At the same time, back in the big house in the city, a frantic Leonard paced the floor, waiting for some change in the condition of his wife, Rose, who all day had been in a strange stupor from which nothing could arouse her.
There. Doesn't she look better?
Yes, I think she does.
She's waking up.
Rose. Rose, darling, don't be frightened.
Why, Leonard.
Yes, of course it's me. Who did you think it was going to be?
I don't know.
I was startled. I guess I must have been dreaming.
Rose, what's happened to you? Why, your voice sounds just like Helen's.
Really, Leonard? That's odd. Perhaps I'm catching a cold.
No. Now you sound like yourself again. But for a moment, I'd have sworn it was Helen speaking. Oh, I guess I've been so worried, I'm just imagining things.
Oh, Leonard, hold me close. Close, darling, close.
Always, Rose. Always.
Always. Yes, always. She'll never have you back. Never.
What are you saying, Rose?
I was just thinking of how much I love you. So much that I'll never let anything take you away from me. Never.
In the days that followed, Leonard found his beautiful wife, Rose, so strangely changed.
You've been different somehow these last 10 days. In fact, ever since Helen went away so unexpectedly.
Have I, Leonard? How?
Well, you've been gayer, more headstrong, too. It's almost as if you'd acquired a whole new character.
Well, perhaps I have. And how do you like this new wife of yours?
Well, I do, and I...
Don't?
Oh, please, I don't mean it. It's just that... Well, I was so in love with the old Rose, it's a little hard to get used to the new. And all these bills that you're running up. Why, that's not like the Rose you used to be.
Oh, Leonard. I do hope you're not too mad at me because...
Well, what is it this time? Another fur coat?
Worse than that. We're going to give a party.
Another? Why, that's 3 in 10 days. Rose, I forbid it.
You can't, Leonard, because I've invited everybody already.
Rose, it's so unlike you. Why, you act more like Helen than like yourself these days.
Never mind, darling. You'll get used to the change in me. In time.
Ignoring her husband's displeasure, Rose, or should I say, Helen, went ahead with her plans for a party that night. And when early in the evening, a small gray-haired man presented himself at the door and asked for her, he sent word by Bessie that she would not see him.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chadwin. Mrs. Tabor says she cannot see you. She says she does not know anyone named Chadwin.
But she does. 10 days ago I was here. I gave you an envelope for her. It had a key in it. Oh, surely you remember.
Yes, but just the same, she says she doesn't know you. Now, please go, or I'll have to call an officer.
Did you tell her what I said? This was the 10th day?
Yes, and she said she had no idea what you were talking about.
All right, I'm going. I must do what I can by myself.
And while the gay party went on, miles away in the old cemetery, Chadwin the Great worked frantically with a hammer and chisel to force the padlock on the door of the mausoleum in which, unknown to the world, a sleeping girl lay hidden.
Look, got to get it open. Won't let me into our house. Don't even talk to me. Won't let me warn her. She won't... What is that? Dog's coming this way.
There he is. Somebody trying to break into the
barn mausoleum. The guards. I must run, quick.
Look out, he's getting away.
Hey, you brave runner. Get somebody.
They missed me. Got to get back to town. I must warn her. She's got to know. Miss Vaughan, thank heaven this time you heeded my message.
I won't have you coming around to my house this way, do you hear? You must never come here again.
But you do not understand. The 10 days is up tonight. Now, your time is over.
Are you trying to scare me, Chadwin? To get more money from me?
Money? No, I am just trying to tell you. It was understood 10 days only. More is not allowed.
You fool! Do you think I ever intended to give up Rose's body once I had it? In that narrow crypt in the tightly locked mausoleum, my body has long since died from lack of air. And Rose has died with it. But I remain alive.
Oh, that is what you planned. I should have guessed. But it is not so. Your body is not dead.
It is in a sleep so deep that it scarcely breathes. Needs no food, no water. But sometime tonight, the dog will wear off, and your sister Rose will claim her body again, while you, Helen Vaughn, will wake to find yourself locked within a burial crypt.
No. No, it's not true.
It is true. And you will not be asleep. You will be awake, needing air, and there will be no air.
You're just trying to frighten me.
Tonight I tried to open the tomb to save you. I was driven away by guards with dogs.
But what can I do?
Only if we can reach the tomb in time to open it can you be saved.
And we must go now. I'll get the key. And we must hurry. Hurry!
There's the mausoleum, Miss Vaughn. Pray heaven the guards are not waiting.
They won't be. We fooled them by leaving the car outside and walking up this back path. Now hurry, Chip.
What is it, Miss Vaughn?
I don't know. For a moment, I felt so dizzy. Weak.
It's Rose, trying to return to her body. We cannot waste an instant.
Hold me up. Something is pulling at me, tugging at me.
Darling, where are you?
She's speaking through her own lips.
No. No, not yet. Go back, you hear me? Rose, go back.
Here's the mausoleum. The key. Give me the key.
Here it is. Quickly. She's pushing at me so hard.
No.
Oh,
Helen, help me. Everything is so dark. Where are you?
Go back. Go back, I say. Chedwin, have you got the lock off yet?
It won't unlock.
It must.
They put a new padlock on. Oh, dear heaven, they've changed the lock.
No! No! It's getting dark! Dark!
It's hopeless. We cannot enter.
Helen, where are you?
No. We can't both be in the same body. Go back!
Helen, I'm frightened.
Don't walk me out.
Help me!
Go back where you were!
Help me!
Wait, Rose, wait!
Help me! Helen! Helen!
No! No, don't! Rose, you mustn't! You mustn't!
The guards, they're coming back. Sleep, child. Sleep a little longer and wake without memories.
Sleep. Yes.
Sleep. For her will, I can do nothing now. And the guards, they must not catch me. They must not catch me.
There it is. We've got him this time. Holy catch. It's a girl. It's Mrs. Taylor. Mrs. Taylor.
Sleep on the steps of her own family mausoleum.
Say, we got to get her out of here. Help me lift her out.
Hey, wait. Did you hear something then? Like somebody calling a long ways off? Listen.
Help me. I can't breathe. Chadwin, help me. I'm all dead.
Well, do you hear anything?
Nah, I can't hear anything. Just the wind. Come on, we got to phone Miss Tabor's husband. She may be sick. Come on now, no time to lose.
Remember anything about a man named Chadwin?
Chadwin? No, I don't, Leonard.
Well, Bessie says he called several times last week to see you. The last time was the night of the party. You're sure you don't remember?
No, Leonard. I'm sorry,
oh,
but...
Oh, it's all right, darling. I just thought maybe you might have begun to remember some of the things that happened during those 10 days when you, well, weren't yourself.
It's so strange. As if my mind had been asleep the whole time. Is there something about Chadwin in the paper?
He committed suicide last night.
Oh.
His body was found near the old family mausoleum. He left a mysterious note saying he was paying for some transgression.
How strange.
I wondered if he could have given us any clue as to how you came to leave the party so suddenly that night and drive to the cemetery. Oh, but... It's all over now and not worth worrying about.
I'd remember if I could, but when I try, I become suddenly frightened and feel as if I were locked in some dark, tiny space where I can't breathe.
All right, now, darling, all right. Let's forget the whole thing. Now, let's see what came in the morning mail. Maybe there's a letter from Helen. You know, it's high time we were hearing from her. She's really not acting much like a sister, being gone so long without even writing a letter to know where she is.
This is the mysterious traveler again. I'm afraid Leonard and Rose are going to have to wait a long time for a letter from Helen. In fact, I'll be very much surprised if they ever get one. I suppose it'll never occur to them to look in the old mausoleum. In fact, since they both feel a distinct aversion to going near it, it may never be opened again. But I don't suppose that'll make much difference to Helen now. Now, if you were wishing you could step into somebody else's shoes, maybe what happened to Helen will make you change your mind. You know, I knew a man once who... He stole somebody else's body, only to discover when it was too late that he... Oh, you're getting off here? Well, perhaps we'll meet again soon. I take this same train every week at this same time.
You have just heard Chapter 55 of The Mysterious Traveler, a series of dramas of the strange and terrifying. In tonight's story, They Who Sleep, Philip Clark played Chadwin, Gertrude Warner played Helen, and Helen Clare played Rose. The Mysterious Traveler is written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan. Original music is played by Henry Silverne, and the entire production is under the direction of Jock McGregor. Listen next week to a tale titled
Escape Through Time.
Another tale of the mysterious traveler.
The Mysterious Traveler, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 6th of January, 1945 on the Mutual Network. Leading man, Philip Clark, from that broadcast would appear on the Traveler series months later in March of 1945 for a story called Death Comes for Adolf Hitler. The Second World War was still on at that point, and the story was about Adolf Hitler being trapped in a submarine while legions of the dead scratched at the hull on the bottom of the ocean. This is an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Dark Fantasy with the story The Man with the Scarlet Satchel, an NBC episode from March 6th, 1942.
I would like to buy a satchel, if you please. There, that one in the corner will do. The scarlet one. You see, scarlet is my favorite color because it reminds me so very much of blood.
Came about, Sam.
Sit down.
Do you have a smoke?
Yes, of course.
Do you think Mr. Craig knows what we're doing?
I believe he suspects.
What are your plans?
Tonight, Peter Craig will sign over the last of the estate to me.
And when do I get the money you promised me?
Within a week.
Why that wait that long?
Because it's the best that way. You should wait longer. Would not do for the private nurse, Rose Esther, to become suddenly rich overnight.
You remember the price, don't you?
$100,000.
I should have more. You're netting a cool million.
The deal was all right with you when I made it.
Yes. Yes, it's all right. What time tonight?
About 11. When he's good and sleepy.
So you'll take the powder without suspecting.
You said he already suspects.
Not everything. He doesn't know we give him dope to make his mind go blank. We can be pretty sure of that.
Or that he signs those legal papers while under the influence of the drug?
He couldn't possibly know that. He's been taking medicine for so many years, when you hold a glass of it in front of him, he takes it automatically.
He has one more paper to sign?
One more.
I'll give him the powder the minute you come into the house tonight.
After that, disappear.
Yes, I will. But remember, Sam, I expect my share of the money within a week. I think I've been quite patient with you since we went into this thing. It wouldn't be wise for me to become suddenly impatient.
All right, Mr. Billing. Sit down, sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Craig.
Nurse, hand me my glasses on that table over there. I can't see a thing without my glasses.
Your medicine, Mr. Craig.
Medicine. Oh, all right. Thank you, nurse. Now, you get my glasses.
Here they are. Do you wish warm milk before going to bed tonight?
Warm milk? No, not on your life. And don't you go locking my laboratory tonight. I'm going to tinker around in there a bit as soon as Mr. Willard leaves.
Yes, sir. Just ring if you need anything, Mr. Craig.
You look well, sir.
I never felt better in my life. Now, what's on your mind at this hour of the night?
Well, Mr. Craig, I have been handling your legal affairs for quite some time now.
Yes, you have. 7 years, I believe.
That's so. This afternoon, I stumbled upon something that absolutely astounded me.
And what was that?
I happened upon the deed to your estate. I noticed it had never been turned over to you in a legal manner. Well, it's a small technicality, but I thought I should advise you about it.
Have you done anything about it?
Why, yes, I have. That's why I came out tonight. I have the papers with me. Put everything in perfect order. I say, Mr. Craig, is something wrong?
No, I'm just sleepy. I better sign the paper now.
Yes, sir. I think you'd better. Here, Mr. Craig. On this line right here.
Yes, here?
That's right. That's all, Mr. Craig. Thank you very much. This is just exactly what we needed. Just exactly.
Nurse! Oh, no. There ain't no better than to leave me here in darkness. Nurse! Come here at once. She's not here. She's gone. He's gone. And left me. When it's so dark. So still. Left me here to die. I can't stand darkness. I can't be left alone. My heart.
My manservant, Alex Monroe, I bequeath the sum of $5,000. This is my will. All that remains, aside from the foregoing, is for Mr. Samuel Willard, my attorney, to carry out the duties I already have outlined to him. Herewith, attest my hand. Peter Craig. And that is Mr. Craig's will. I wish to assure you that the last portion, the portion concerning the duties involving myself, have been carried out. They have to do with the funeral itself and the preparations for the funeral. I wish to thank each of you for coming here tonight to hear the reading of Mr. Craig's will. You will each receive your individual shares of the estate in the next 2 weeks. Now, good evening. Well, Rose?
They took it quite well.
Why shouldn't they? After all, they were only his servants. He had no relatives. It didn't strike any of them as strange that Craig should have left the bulk of the estate to me.
You played your cards very well, didn't you?
I think so. The smartest thing was giving the servants a share.
Yes. Now, I suppose I'll receive my share.
Of course. Within a week.
Good. Would you mind answering a question for me?
Why, no. What is it?
Those instructions about the funeral. I saw nothing unusual about them.
There wasn't anything unusual.
But just what were these secret instructions Mr. Craig left for you in a sealed envelope marked to be read immediately following my passing?
Oh, that. He just stated he wished to be buried in the family vault. But there was something strange at that.
Yes.
He directed me to his laboratory, a certain compartment where I found a box wrapped in brown paper and tied with a heavy cord. He instructed that this box was to be buried with him.
And was it?
Yes, I had it placed in a coffin.
Do you know what was in the box?
Yes. I don't mind saying I was curious, so I opened the package.
Well?
It wasn't anything worthwhile at all. Just a couple of pounds of modeling clay.
Modeling clay?
Yes. What in the world do you think his idea was in wanting to be buried with such an insignificant thing as modeling clay? This way, please, Professor White.
Thanks, Mr. Willard. Peter Craig, as I've told you, was an old friend of mine. I certainly was surprised to arrive here and learn he'd passed on.
Yes, we buried him last Thursday. Mr. Craig had no relatives. I didn't know the names of any of his friends, and that's why you weren't notified.
I once worked with Mr. Craig at Oxford. He could have been a professor there, had he wished.
Professor? Here, down these steps.
Yes, he was quite an electrical engineer. Worked miracles, almost, with wires and tubes and batteries, condensers, all that sort of thing.
Well, I knew he liked to fuss around in his laboratory. I've only been inside the place once. Didn't know he was a master at any particular science.
Oh, yes, indeed. He was one in a million. Always experimenting. Always trying some new idea.
Here we are. This is Mr. Craig's laboratory.
I see. This wax on the door.
Oh, that. The police sealed the place up when they were investigating the death of Peter Craig.
Investigating?
Yes. Mr. Craig died unattended. Heart attack. He fell and struck his head. At first, the police feared foul play.
Oh, I see. Oh, I suppose it'll be quite all right to break the seal now.
Oh, certainly. We've forgotten all about it. There we are. Now, I'll go first, Professor White. Light switch is very inconveniently placed. Okay, sir. This is what you wanted to see.
Yes, just as I thought. Table after table and shelf after shelf of electrical equipment.
Seems pretty much of a mess to me.
Poor old Peter Craig. He never was very tidy.
I came in here the day the police were around. Just before they sealed the room up. I've never been here before. All these wires and electrical panels and tubes and things give me the creeps.
Well, Craig certainly could put weird contraptions together.
He spent many hours here. I believe his experiments were the only things that gave him a desire to keep on living.
Say, here's a strange-looking workbench over here.
What do you mean, Professor?
Well, look for yourself here. See, the tabletop is littered with short lengths of almost invisible copper wires and with little bits of fresh putty.
Putty?
No, it's not putty. It's modeling clay.
You... Yes, you're right.
Yes, and here's a cardboard box of this stuff.
That box, the brown paper, this heavy cord.
Yeah, well, it appears that there was a great deal more of the clay in this box. You can see that a good portion of it has been torn away from the original mass.
It's the same box. The very same one I put into the casket.
What?
What could Peter Craig have been doing with modeling clay and thin copper wires?
Mr. Willard.
Yes?
Is that the only entrance to this laboratory, the one the police sealed?
Well, yes, it is. No windows, no other door.
And yet that seal was unbroken.
We both saw it was.
Yeah, but look here on this workbench here. These bits of clay, still moist, not dry and hardened like they'd be if they'd lain here long.
And this hand towel here, look at it. Damp, as though someone had just recently dried his hands on it.
Mr. Willard, what's this, do you know?
A locket on a golden chain. Where did you find it?
Oh, here on the floor, near the wall over there.
His picture is a child inside.
You know what's in the locket without opening it?
Yes. It was Peter Craig's request that he be buried with this locket in his hands.
Yes, this is Rosetta. Who wishes to see me, clerk? Well, if he won't give his name, I certainly am not interested. He said to tell me he's the man with the scarlet satchel. The scarlet satchel. Oh. No, I don't wish to see him. Send him away, please. Tell him to go away. Tell him to go away. Peter Craig.
Good evening, my dear.
You, the man with...
With the scarlet satchel.
I remember when you bought it. You took me with you. And when I suggested a black or brown colored bag, you said...
I said that scarlet is my favorite color, because it reminds me so very much of blood.
Yes. Oh, no. No. But this isn't true. It can't be true. Peter Craig is dead.
Yes, my dear. So he is.
But you were Peter Craig.
I was Peter Craig. Once upon a time. Now, I am merely an old man with a scarlet satchel.
What is in that satchel?
I am just returning a gift, my dear.
A gift?
Oh, it was a most excellent jest, I know. But hardly becoming of so charming a person as yourself.
What do you mean?
Do you remember the modeling clay? I see you do remember.
It was merely a joke. We sent it to you only in fun.
We?
And Mr. Willard and I.
Oh, yes. Mr. Willard. Well, I never did tell you how much I appreciated receiving a child's plaything from two such thoughtful people. But now I've come to return the gift.
Go away. You're some imposter pretending to be Peter Craig. The real Peter Craig is dead and buried.
I am going, my dear. But I leave the gift with you. You'll find it there in the satchel. You'll find its contents most interesting, I'm sure. And now, good night, my dear, and goodbye.
He's gone. It isn't true. Peter Craig is dead.
I saw him buried. Oh, this is just a horrible dream. Yes, I'll wake up any minute now and... That satchel. Scarlet. More scarlet now than it ever was. There on the floor. Where he left it. Oh. It's opening. Yes. Opening. And yet... There are no hands to do it. Something inside. Something is opening that satchel from the inside. What in the name of heaven is that thing? Oh, no. Oh, stop. Stop, I tell you. Keep away. Keep away from me. No. No. No.
Miss Esther was a friend of yours, Mr. Willard?
Yes, she was.
Mm. That newspaper certainly gives a startling account of her death.
Yes. Rose Esther was heard by neighboring tenants screaming hysterically. When investigators broke their way through a locked door, they found the nurse sprawled upon the floor of her living room. Both the girl's hands were clasped tightly to her face. Her eyes were staring blankly, wide with terror. Her last gasping words were, "Scarlet Satchel." The terror-stricken girl undoubtedly died from fright. Scarlet Satchel.
Yeah, sounds like a murder plot from Sherlock Holmes.
Scarlet Satchel! Just a minute, Professor.
Mr. Willard, man, don't jump like that. Why, you startled the life out of me.
It's gone.
Gone? What's gone?
He kept it here in this closet. I remember when he bought it.
Who bought what, Mr. Willard? What in heaven's name are you so excited about?
The Scarlet Satchel. He always kept it here. Now it's gone.
I still don't understand what connects...
The cemetery. That's it. We've got to go out to the cemetery. Come on, Professor White. We've got to go out there and see what's happened to the grave of Peter Craig. Body's gone.
Peter Craig's vault has been opened.
Opened? As though someone inside had pushed up the coffin lid to escape.
That lid was heavy.
Peter!
Peter Craig!
It was so difficult for an old man to push up so much weight.
Peter, what on earth is the explanation of this? They told me you were dead and buried, man.
Then for once, my good friend, they told the truth.
Yes. He is dead. I saw him just after they found him. He'd been dead for hours. His heart had stopped. Rigor mortis had set in.
Yes. I was a perfect corpse.
Peter!
He was taken to the funeral parlor. Embalmed. He lay in his coffin a day and a night before we buried him.
Mr. Willard, there's some explanation.
I saw them close the coffin on him. Saw them bring it out here. Watched them put it into the vault and seal the door.
And Rose Esther witnessed the same thing. That's why, I startled her so.
You killed her. You killed Rose Esther.
No, not I. She was killed by the thing in the Scarlet Satchel.
The Scarlet Satchel? Professor White, look, he's carrying it now.
There is one plan in the entire scheme of things mortal man does not know. That those who are murdered never rest easily within their graves until they have wrought the full and perfect vengeance.
Murdered?
They left me alone. Alone in the darkness and stillness of a night to die. They knew that my heart couldn't stand the shock. It was as much murder as if they'd stopped my heart with a dagger thrust.
No, 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 I had nothing to do with that.
You and your friend, Miss Esther, once thought it very hilarious when you sent your child's plaything to the mails. At the time, I was not amused, Mr. Willard. Now I am.
The clay modeling set.
Exactly.
Peter! Peter, man, what are you doing?
The scarlet satchel. He's opening it.
And taking out my little pygmy friend.
Peter, that thing looks alive.
No. No. Oh, it can't be. It's nothing but a little figure modeled in clay. Just a little clay doll. It can't be human.
Then watch it come to life.
Peter. Good heavens.
It's moving. Walking. Like a man.
You see? I have put the modeling clay to good use. I have created with it your damnation.
No. No. Keep it away from me. Don't let it come any closer. Keep it away, I say. Don't let it touch me. Stop it. Keep that deadly thing away from me. Don't let it touch me.
Man with the Scarlet Satchel, the 16th original tale of Dark Fantasy by Scott Bishop.
Dark Fantasy, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 6th of March, 1942 on NBC. And that's it for This Hour of Horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.